The Lie That Had to Be. Chapter 1. Tyrants, Toads, and Paper Dolls. Robbie, Rennie felt her quills rise up. She had known her brother was up to something. Why else would he have to pee just after Mama told her to wash out the bathroom sink? Now the sink glared up at her, green muck from rim to rim, the peppermint smell of toothpaste attacking her nostrils like dragons. She glared back at it and then at her brother, standing at the door, grinning like a gorilla. "You wait." She ran her fingers into the toothpaste, catching it beneath her nails, and smeared it across his cheek. "Toad, you're such an ugly little toad." She could see his brown warts sprouting. "Ugh," Robbie screeched. Suddenly Papa was there, the tyrant king, standing over them with his arms across his wide chest. Rennie's delicious feeling fell. "Look what he did, Papa." Maybe Papa would see that Robbie was a toad. Maybe he would hug her and she'd let her prickles down. His black eyes followed her pointing finger to the sink. His thick eyebrows drew together. He laid a deep frown on Robbie and then on Rennie. He didn't hug her. Everything about him was hard, even the Italian words that came from his mouth. "Look at what you did." "I had to. He was mean on purpose." Her voice quivered. "I expect you two to be good to each other. You are brother and sister. You will need each other for your whole lives. Now, Roberto, go in the kitchen and wash your face. Renita, get this sink cleaned up fast. Don't be late for school." He turned and followed Robbie toward the kitchen, but Rennie's protest, "Robbie should do it," brought him back. "I want to see this sink sparkle, signorina." Rennie squinched her face hard and turned away to hide the hot, hateful tears which threatened her eyes. She turned on the cold tap and spread the water around until most of the slimminess disappeared down the drain. She could feel Papa behind her, his arms across his chest again, making sure she did it right. Why couldn't she just turn him into a toad? Why couldn't she be a witch with long black nails and waved evil spells at his face? The tears came now, burning her cheeks. She poured cleaner on the cloth and rubbed it around. Her nose was running from crying, but she still wanted to sneeze out the pine scent. She washed everything down the sink and then dried it with a fresh cloth, her hand shaking. Papa was still there. She rubbed away every drop of water. Now could she turn around? How? Her shoulders closed together and her eyes glued themselves to the floor. She turned. Papa stopped her from leaving. He put his hand under her chin and lifted her face. Her cheeks were still wet and she couldn't look up. "You're older, Renita. Please stop, Papa. Now, are you going to go to school with your quills up?" That was their joke, and the tease meant he forgave her. Still, she was afraid to look at him. She tucked her forehead into his chest and then wrapped her arms around him. He pressed her close to so she could hardly breathe. He smelled just like her good Papa. She felt a little better walking to school alone. How much she loved Papa and how she hated it when he was angry with her. Sometimes she thought he liked her grumpiness. It was he who had first called her a porcupine. And it was true. A person needed quills against tyrant kings and tormenting toads. Her parents must have known that when they named her. Rennie was more like a porcupine's name than a girl's. It wasn't fair. Everyone else in her family had names that were okay in English. Ricardo was Rick. Sergio was Serge. Loretta was Loretta, and that was beautiful. Roberto was Robbie, but Rennie sounded short and squat and babyish, and that's what people thought of her, too. She thrust her hands into the big floppy pockets of her sweater. It was a white cardigan, warm and loose, with wide-ribbed cuffs and button. It closed her in completely with lots of room to spare, and the pockets could hold anything, nearly her whole arm, if she pushed down far enough. It was really Rick's sweater, but he'd given it to her because she'd been so unhappy when he went away to university last September. "Hey, Rennie," Julie ran up to her on the school ground. "How come you're so late?" Rennie smiled. Julie always understands when grown-ups were unfair. So she told the story, the true parts, not the dream parts, and how it was all Robbie's fault. "But you just wait. He'll be in big trouble first chance I get." "Good, hey? After school, let's go to my house. I've got brand new paper dolls. You'll love them, Ren." The girls skipped to the line and stood still as angels while the nuns patrolled the ranks, making sure all children's heads were facing straight ahead. At Julie's, Mr. McLean peered through the kitchen door and warned them to be careful of the house. The girls started upstairs. "What does she mean?" asked Rennie. "What could they do to it? I bet she's been cleaning all day. It's Daddy's birthday." Julie didn't seem to think anything was strange, but Mr. McLean would never care how neat his house was. He was always messing things up to have pillow fights and tugs of war with Julie and her. He probably wouldn't even notice how messy Mrs. McLean looked. "Oh well, Mama said Mr. McLean was the quiet type." Quiet wasn't exactly right. Gloomy seemed more like it. She hadn't cleaned Julie's room. It looked as if Julie had been playing cards on her bed that morning and left them there. Her pajamas were thrown across the floor and her dresser was cluttered with five and dime jewelry and play lipstick. Julie shoved some of this aside to make room for her sweater. Then she danced out into the middle of the room and her blue eyes flashing, waved her arm into the air. From her wrist dangled a loose silver bracelet with a plaque that said Thomas McLean in strong Roman print. She plopped onto the bed beside Rennie and caressed the bracelet all over. "It's so wonderful. It reminds me every day of the proud, brave thing Tom's doing. I'm keeping it safe for him. And you know what? I think it's helping me keep him safe, too." "That's stupid." Rennie was fed up with hearing about Julie's brother. "You can't keep him safe just by wearing his ID bracelet." "It seems like I can, and I really do think I can, too." Julie straightened her back and turned the name plaque toward her face. It caught some sun from the window and glistened. Rennie let out a long, disgusted sigh. "Show me your paper dolls?" "I will, but first you have to admit that Tom's braver than Rick, and he's saving our country for freedom, and Rick isn't." "I'm going home then." Rennie could feel her skin start to pinch. Rick cared about freedom too. But he had won a scholarship to St. Francis Xavier University and he was going to be a doctor. That was just as important as being a soldier. Besides that, Papa said that Tom wasn't fighting in any battles. The soldiers were just waiting in England until they were needed. Anyway, the whole war was far across the sea and had nothing to do with her except that the grown-ups talked about it a lot and made kitchen conversation so boring. She stood up, but Julie had been moving around her room and straightening her bed. Her bracelet was on her dresser, and she had paper dolls out. "I'm only joking. You don't have to admit it," she said. Rennie didn't know what to do. Julie did believe that Tom was better than Rick, but still, she had those nice paper dolls that they hadn't even touched yet. She sat on the edge of the bed and leaned against the dresser. She kept her sweater on. It was fuzzy on her arms and held a comforting soap smell. This was the first she'd worn it in almost a week, since it took a few days to dry after washing. There was always an argument when Mama wanted to wash it. Rennie needed to feel as close to Rick as Julie did to Tom. And besides, she needed warmth. Even though it was June 10th, it was still chilly outside. Julie laid the paper dolls out on the bed. There was a soldier, tall and square-shouldered, with four brass buttons down the front that would shine if they were real. There was also a teenage girl whose head came to his shoulder. Her waist was pinched and tiny, and she had wavy blonde hair to match his blonde crew cut. The soldier seemed a lot like Tom McLean, and the girl could be Julie a few years older because they were both skinny and very different from Rennie. Her own hair was short and dark, and she had solid bones, according to Mama, and a firm cushion of flesh that was nicely squeezable. Julie seemed to have forgotten about Tom and Rick. She plopped herself down at the end of the bed with her legs folded in front of her and studied the dolls. "Who do you want?" she asked. "Who do you?" "You're the guest. You choose." "Okay. The teenager. We can trade later, if you want." Julie handed over the teenage girl. Julie was nice. Rennie pulled her legs onto the bed. She opened her sweater so that it flopped widely at the sides. The girl started to play, walking the dolls towards each other. This was a trench in the war, with soldiers and loneliness. The Tom McLean doll was sad. The teenage would go to war with him. She could cut her hair short and they would be heroes together and maybe die together. "Come on, we'll draw a uniform for her," suggested Julie, but Mrs. McLean called up the stairs for them to come down. "Bring your sweaters," she said. "Now what?" It had been a good game. Julie swept her sweater off the table. Rennie folded her.